Psalms chapter 119. Begin reading at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Honor hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked, or rather horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. I want to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I'd like to read verse 32. Chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. I want to read that verse again. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you ask the Lord to bless the Word of God tonight? Praise God. Dear Lord, tonight, let the Holy Ghost touch our hearts. Amen. Let the Spirit and power of your name and your Word be with us, the power and the might of the Holy Ghost. Use us for your glory and set our souls afire that we might do your will in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want to use tonight for our subject, we have a memory. Everybody say it. We have a memory. Say, thank you, Lord, for my memory. Say it again. Thank you, Lord, for my memory. You just don't know what an important part your memory plays in your successful walk with God. That's right. That's right. Oh, I feel something here tonight. I'm telling you I do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The thing that gave birth to this message was a little clipping that I found in the paper not too long ago, and it was in a recent issue of Sunshine Magazine, and I read about this article comparing the human mind to a computer. It stated that scientists were asked to determine the size, the cooling system, and the power required to perform electronically the same functions that are automatically accomplished by a man's brain during his lifetime. They decided after their investigation and research that if all parts were transistorized and built on a minute scale, like those used in rockets to the moon, the following would be needed. A machine the size of the United Nations building in New York. A cooling system with an output equal to Niagara Falls. And a power source that would produce as much electricity as is used in homes and industry in the entire state of California. What a brain. That's right. What a brain. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Another little article that I picked up along the way in formulating this message was a question that was asked. Said, how much information can the human brain store? When I read that, I started looking at that book. And God began to talk to me about my memory. And He began to talk to me. After they asked this question, the scientists say that the brain, composed of 10 billion working parts. You didn't know you had that much sense, did you? Your brain, composed of 10 billion working parts, can accept 10 new facts every second, or a total of 100 trillion different words, which would mean acquiring one word per second continuously for 1 million years. That's how much can be fed into your brain. The average human living 70 years stores information equivalent to a mere 1 billion words. No, 1 trillion words. 1 trillion words. You see, when I got to looking at those statements, what is confined in the head of a man, you really got two compartments of your brain, your conscience and your subconscious. And your conscious mind deals with the present things. Your subconscious mind is the storehouse that comes through your conscious mind on its way to be recorded and put back on a shelf and to stay there. The human mind is a storehouse. It's a place where events and experiences are recorded and stored. It is the diary of our entire life. It is the journal of our every accomplishment. The mind has great power over the body. The mind says, I can. And it puts the body into action of doing it. A person will follow his thinking. One cannot become great, one fellow said, and think small. Neither can one remain small and think great. Thoughts is the original source of all wealth, all success, all material gain, all great discoveries, all inventions, and all achievements of mankind on the face of this earth. It comes out of the mind of man. God gives us a storehouse, and He gave it to us for a reason, and that was that we might use it in times of stress and trouble and trials and tribulations and fight against the powers of demonic spirits of hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You're talking about a microfilm. We've got it in our head right here. And experiences and with God and preachings and words and sermons and reading the Word of God and God talking to you and victories and everything else, the experience that you've had with God is recorded in your brain. Hallelujah. And it's put there for a reason. That is, that you might use your memory, hallelujah to God, to come back to future times to defeat the powers of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We have a memory. Hallelujah. And I thank God for my memory. I thank God for my memory. Praise God. Because your memory is the connecting link between the past and the present that gives you faith to be faithful and have victory in the future. Hallelujah to God. If you didn't have a memory that connected you with the past, you wouldn't have courage and faith and strength to stand firm in the present. And if you didn't have strength to stand firm in the present, you wouldn't have faith to believe God for the future. Hallelujah. Praise God. So memory is the connecting link that connects me with the past experiences that I've had with God, that gives me the courage to stand the powers and the struggles and the torments and the opposition that is facing me at the present, and give me faith that I'm going to get the victory over last everlasting one of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Time and circumstances can dim the memory of an event or an experience as far as the conscious mind is concerned. But neither time nor circumstances can erase an experience or an event completely from the subconscious mind. Now, I want you to get this, because I'm coming back to it here in a little while. Time and circumstances can dim the memory of an event or an experience. This is why that the devil can cause people to think 10 years from the time they received the Holy Ghost that they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Because in your conscious mind, the vision, the experience of receiving the Holy Ghost kind of fades away. And it's kind of like a dream to you. And it's a dim situation. But that does not mean that experience that happened to you in you receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost has completely lost your mind. It goes on and it's recorded somewhere in the storehouse of your brain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So time and circumstances can dim the memory of an event or experience. But neither time, that is of the conscious mind, but neither time nor circumstances can erase an experience or an event completely from the subconscious mind. Because God has fixed it in the brain of man that He's going to give you a storehouse, that everything that comes in, every experience that you've ever had with God, the time that you got the Holy Ghost, the day that God delivered you, the power that brought you out, and the forgiveness of your sins, and the joy that you felt, and the victory that you had, it was going to be recorded there so that you can come back to that storehouse and get a hold of it, so that the devil cannot make you doubt that you got the Holy Ghost in the present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. We have a memory tonight. Hallelujah. I thank God for my memory. It's helped me to stand true to God in the time of struggle, because you're not going to have shouting all the way. there's a time that you're going to have to go back to the experiences that you've had with God and faith, believing, and go back and prove to the devil that you still can whip him. Hallelujah. Because God has given you faith before. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. This is why that Satan tries so hard to cause you or to occupy you to such an extent. We have lost the sensitivity of meditation and waiting on God. Boy, that is one of the secrets of living for God, is meditating and waiting on God. And if the devil can keep you occupied in your battle at the present so that you don't have time to meditate and to pray and to go back to the storehouse and get back some things and some victory that you want over him, he's going to defeat you, my friend. He's certainly going to defeat you. But he can't defeat a man that will meditate on God. That's why he couldn't do nothing with David right here. That's why when he was running for his life, he said, "I've kept your law." You know why I kept your law? Because he was a man of meditation. He got off over there somewhere to a fact. Hallelujah, God. And he remembered. He remembered. Hallelujah. His mind began to work. His memory went back to the time that God gave him the victory. I'm a sign to every last one of you tonight. If you want to live for God, you've got to have time to pray, to meditate on God's Word. Hallelujah! 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 We have a memory tonight, and that's why God gave it to you. It's a storehouse. It's a storehouse. It's a storehouse. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Preachers, saints of God, we must not lose the art of meditation upon God's Word. Get this Bible. Go back and meditate on the experiences that you've had with God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I've gone through some trials and tribulations, that if I didn't have a memory, Brother Price, I'd have never faced up to the battle.
Amen.
I'd have never held out to the end. I'd have never defeated the powers of the devil. But thank God, I have a memory. That in that memory, there's stored victory after victory after victory over the powers of the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, we're going to have some church around here before this thing is over tonight. Hallelujah. I want God to move on us here. The reason that you saints of God go around moping in the morning, the blues, you do too much, you got your business all in a jam. You're just going too much. You're doing too much. You ain't got time to pray. You ain't got time to meditate. But if you could go back, saint of God, in your moments of discouragement, and you could get away somewhere in the stillness of the night, you could meditate. Go back to your memory. You've got something recorded there that will give you faith and courage and strength to stand firm in your trial. Hallelujah. So that's why the devil fills your time. That's why he fills every second of your day, so you can stay busy. He don't want you to stop long enough to go back and think back at the past experiences. And this is what he said. He said, and Paul gave admonishment to the church. He said, go back and remember the former days. Go right on to the next chapter, my friend, and you'll see why he's encouraging these saints to remember their former days, because he gives you a catalog about that long of men and women that went through the trials, they went through the fires, they went through the waters, they went through hell, they went through demon powers, the third. But the reason was that God gave them the victory, and in the victory we can go back, and in our memory we can go back to those victories. And if God did it for them, He'll do it for us right here in 1978. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The devil, he does not want you to remember. He don't want you to meditate. He don't want you to stop and go back and reminisce and let things come back to your mind. He can't defeat a person that'll pray and meditate and wait on God. The Bible says that he that wait upon the Lord, did he say it? Did he say it or not? Did he say it or not? He that wait. What are you doing? Just sitting there twirling your thumbs? No, sir. What are you waiting on God for? I'm a waiting. I'm a remembering. My minds are going back to victories over the powers of the devil. My mind is going back to waters that I walked through. My mind going back to fires that I've come through. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What's that strength for? It's for the present. Remember the past. It'll give you strength for the present and faith for the future. He don't want you to remember your victories and your healings and your miracles and your signs and your wonders and your visions and your dreams. The nights and the days that God has talked to you. He wants you to stay busy so you don't have time to go back. Now let me see, I'm facing the devil. Now what can I do? Well, what did you do the first time you fought the devil? Go back to the shelf over there and you'll pull out a little record, a little minute film. And on that film it says the way that you defeated the devil.
Yes.
That way you defeated him one time is the way you're going to defeat him another time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remembering these experiences gives you faith. And not only that, but it gives you courage. It gives you strength to continue on and to stand fast in the present and believe that if God delivers you one time, He can deliver you another time. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you don't understand the spiritual strength and the value and the benefits that you draw from your memory by learning to wait and believe God and meditate on God. It's invaluable to a child of God's success in their living for God. It's invaluable to the life of a preacher. Meditation and remembering, going back to things in the past. I'll tell you, things in this generation looks mighty bleak and dim. And if I didn't have some past experiences, I'd have done lost faith in the future. You hear me? I said, if I hadn't had, if my faith was to be built and my courage and strength would be predicated upon what I see in this world today with my eyes, I'd have lost out a long time ago. But it's because of 27 years ago, the call that came to my heart and to my life, some experiences that I've had in God, and know that it's real. My God, I've seen so much sham, and so much false, and so much put on, and so much talent, and so much parade of personality. My God, is there anything real in this world tonight? Is there such a thing as the real Holy Ghost? Is there such a thing as real divine healing? Is there such a thing as the real God called preacher? Is there a real thing tonight of miracles and signs and wonders in the kingdom of God? It makes you question the present if you don't have a connected link with the past.
That's right. Amen.
And if you question the present, you lose faith in the future. And if you lose faith in the future, you're going to fall by the wayside and never be saved. Because there's going to come times, and there is times. And before the end time comes, every preacher that's in this building Every saint of God is here. All local churches. There's going to come a time that there's going to be dark clouds hanging over you, my friend. Yes, sir. There's going to be time that you're going to have to reach down or reach up to touch the bottom. That's how far you're going to go. But you're going to have something. You're going to have to remember some former times. You're going to have to remember the camp meeting of 1978. Hallelujah. There's some of you before next year come. You're going to be walking some mighty dark trails. There's going to be something that's going to hover over you. But if you can get something here in this camp meeting, if God can reach us, if God can touch us, if God can open up our mind, if we can bind back and recall in 1979 the glorious outpouring of the power and the glory, the majesty of God in the camp meeting in Western District in 1978, it'll help you to have faith to continue on. Oh, let's love Him again and thank Him for your memory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank Him for your memory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my memory. Thank you for my memory. Thank you for my memory. We have a memory. It was required of God and the Old Testament saints that they were to set up some kind of memorial at the place where God had met with them to deliver them from their enemy or trouble, or to bless them in some special way. He said, you're not going to let this experience go by you. You're going to set up a memorial. Because in the future, I want to bring you back in your mind. You may be thousands of miles from here. You may not even be on this side of Jordan. You may be over yonder in Canaan's land. But there's some experiences that you've had on this side that I want you to remember and never to forget. And I'm going to establish you with a commandment that you set up a memorial so that your mind can go back to these experiences and these victories that I've helped you through. Hallelujah to God. Noah built an altar as a memorial to God for saving his family and himself from the flood. Abraham built an altar as a memorial to God for providing a sacrifice instead of Isaac on Mount Moriah. Jacob set up the stone he had for his pillar and poured oil upon it and called the place Bethel as a memorial to God, because this is where his nature and his entire life was changed when he met an angel of the Lord. But oh my God, he got away from that place. He got away from it. Yes, he did. But he never got away from it, from his mind. And there was something in his heart for 30 years that called him back to Bethel. Hallelujah. My God, there's got to be something that's established in our heart that's going to call us back from these experiences with God when we're going through trouble and trial. And I don't care how far away from God that you get, your mind will bring you back to your memory for the night that God baptized you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In your flesh, in your earthly desires, you may get miles away from God, but you'll never get away from it in your subconscious mind, because God has that experience recorded and stored there. And when you get in an old dead farmer church, lifeless preaching, no power, no miracles, don't believe in wholeness, you sit there and you're getting cold in your soul, you'd be satisfied with that old church if it wasn't for your memory. Oh, listen, my friend. There ain't no dead church going to satisfy this preacher. I come in under the fire I come in where the glory was there. I come in where the fire fell. I come in with shouting and talking in tongues. I worshiping God, feeling the presence and the power of God in my heart. Saint of God ain't gonna be satisfied with an old, dead, dry, lifeless farmer preacher. When if she didn't have a memory, she might be. But oh, go back to the memory. Woo! Go back to the memory to that preacher that preached the word, that dished it out there with power of God in his soul. Go back in your memory to the time that the word was like a sharp sword that dug down in your soul, that brought that old hard, stiff neck, uncircumcised, rebellious heart of yours under submission to the Spirit of God. Go back to it. Go back to it. Go back in your memory. Go back in your memory. Hallelujah. It never has been removed. It's still right there. How many of you had the Holy Ghost for 50 years? Let me see your hand. All right, now put them down. How many of you remember the time that you got the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Still there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's still there. And I'll tell you what, it'll be there till you die. Because God recorded it there in racks and shelves and nooks and corners and files of your unconscious mind or your subconscious mind. All right, Joshua stopped long enough to set up 12 stones and right in the big middle of the River Jordan. Now, what in the world? The River Jordan is rolled back and they walked across. They all got across and here stands Joshua right out in the middle while the water still rolled back. Now that he's going to stop and put 12 stones there as a monument. Now when he walks across on the other side, the water's going to come. And it's going to flow and he'll never be able to come back and visit that place personally, physically again as long as he lives. But God knew, Joshua, that you're going to have some more Jordans to cross. Woo! He knew you're going to have some more Amalekites and Canaanites and Jebusites. Yes. And what other kind of sites? Bible teacher was over there. All kinds of them, wasn't it? Yes, sir. And out of sights. Out of sights. Yes, sir. But brother, listen. When they got across that river and they got on the other side of the walls come tumbling down, they're going to have some more battles out there. But God delivered them right here. He get them across this side. And he said, I want you to build something that you can go back in your mind. That when you're fighting the Jebusites, and when you're trying to cross this river, and when you're trying to climb that mountain, you can go back to the big middle out there. And that's where I help you have the victory. Hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah to God. Glory! Hallelujah. 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 Glory! Glory, 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 glory. I feel something here, Brother Prophet. I'm telling you I do. I feel something here tonight. My God, somebody, member tonight, has been awakened. Somebody's remembering some things. Your mind is going back to some old camp meetings that you used to have. We can't be satisfied with an old, dead, dry dog camp meeting because we got a memory. That's ever got a memory. Woo! We got a memory, thank God, where people were slain on the power. Where people talked in tongues. Where they hauled them away of speaking in tongues. And stayed out on the influence of power for 3 or 4 days. Camp meeting. Camp meeting. We could be satisfied just to come here and waste our time and get on vacation if we didn't have a memory. But I want to move with the Holy Ghost like I had in 1952, the first camp meeting I ever attended in Texas. And I'm not satisfied with anything less. Glory to God. Glory! These memorials that God made or instructed them to build was an event and an experience in their life that God did not want them to forget. He wanted them to draw strength from it as long as they walked with God. And they drew strength from it time and time and time again. Oh, I could dwell on that for a long time. And it seemed like the more I think about this message, the bigger the thing gets. All right, memory is like a vast, huge storage reservoir in which these experiences are stored awaiting. What did God put them there for? They're just there to be stored, to await the moment and the time and the circumstances. That you are faced with another struggle and another trial or another sickness or another low ebb in your Christian experience and walk with God. And then, in your mind, you can go back and reach back in that storehouse and bring back and relive over the children. Joshua and Caleb, they relived that Red Sea experience. They was reliving it when they got to the River Jordan. They relived that blood on that doorpost when that serpent hung on that pole out in the wilderness. They was reliving some of those experiences through their mind. They was reliving. Oh God, I've gone back in my subconscious mind, in my battles with the devil, in my trials with the flesh, and I've relived my call of God in my life all over again. I've relived the night that I've got the Holy Ghost. I relived the night that I felt the hand of God as it touched my heart. I relived it all over again. Oh, that's what memories are. That's why God allowed to be stored. So you can go back and through your mind and through your memory, you can relive these experiences. That will give you faith and power and strength to stand firm in the present. Hallelujah to God. Oh, dear preacher, friend of mine tonight, don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let him defeat you because that you're going through a trial or a tribulation or a hardship. Get off somewhere in the woods. Just you and God and that Bible. And meditate on God. Hallelujah. Remember the former days. Bring them back to your remembrance. David remembered some experience that he had, and that's the thing that kept him in the hollow of the hand of God and keeping the law of God in his dire circumstances. Let's talk about David a few minutes. He learned the value of his memory when he was but just a young man. He learned that he had a memory. And he learned what that memory was for. He's supposed to use it. Go back and relive some of the events and experiences, David, that you had with God. When he walked out in that valley, look about his brothers and Saul's army. He looked over there and seen an old giant of a man bellowing out curses and blasphemes against the children of God and the king, and all his warriors were backed up and cowed down and been cowed down for several days. His mind began to work, his memory. And he looked at that Goliath, and all of a sudden, he didn't see Goliath. All of a sudden, he saw a bear. Yeah. What? I'm about to have a running fit right now.
Amen.
I said he didn't see Goliath. He saw a bear. And you know what he saw? He saw his hands. One hand in his, one side of his jaw, and the other on this. And he saw the Spirit of God on him, and he saw the power of God on him, and he saw that this thing was about to get one of his little lambs, and he saw that he ripped his jaw from one end of his body from out to where his tail was. If he had a tail. I guarantee you. Glory! Hallelujah! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! And about that time, he saw in his mind a lion.
Yes, sir.
My God, the lion is the king of the beast. He's the strongest of all beasts of the earth. And he saw the Spirit of God on him. And he felt the anointing. He felt the power. He felt the glory as it vibrated and streaked come upon him like a mighty man of valor. He grabbed that lion. And he destroyed him, whipped him to death, and beat him to death, and pulled his mane and pulled his mouth apart, left him laying there bleeding and a dying, kicking and a hollering for help. And he said, "I'm persuaded that this old giant will be just like the bear, just like the lion. Hallelujah! Because God died in the victory. Hallelujah! Yes, sir. He went in faith. He said, you come against me with swords and shields and staves and everything else. But he said, I come in you in the name of memory. Glory! Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, I come to you in the name of Jehovah God. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, you've got some giants to face. You've got some trials to face. You've got some rivers to cross. You've got some mountains to climb. But I want you to know this one thing, that if you'll learn to wait on God, if you'll learn to meditate on God and give yourself some time to go back and reminisce what God has done for you, it'll give you faith and courage and strength to stand up to every opposition that opposes your walk with God. Hallelujah. I've had saints of God to come to me time and time again. Brother McNeely, the devil's been telling me that I never did get the Holy Ghost. And I imagine the devil stole some of you sitting right here, and probably some of you doubt right now while you're sitting on them pews that you even got the Holy Ghost. But you got to remember. You see, I don't care how much the devil tell me I didn't get the Holy Ghost. I can go back in my mind.
Yes, sir.
I can take him to the church. Yeah. I can show him the preacher that preached to me. I can tell him the message that's preached to me. I can tell him the day and the hour. I can tell him what end of the altar I was on. I can tell him what happened to me whenever God knocked me out on that floor. And I've come to a speaking in other tongues and Spirit of God with the utterance. And I can tell him and take him to the old pond and the old river that I was baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now, there's no way that the devil can tell me, as long as I've got a memory, that I didn't get the Holy Ghost. Because I can take him right to the spot. Hallelujah. I can take him to the day. I can take him to the night. I can tell him the preacher's name. I can name the revival. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Saints of God, if you've got the Holy Ghost and the devil's trying to tell you that you didn't get the Holy Ghost, why don't you go back to your mind and go back to the record and bang it out to show the devil and shake it in his face? And show him the night and the place and the day that God baptized you with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. There come times in your life. And there come times in your trials and suffering and tribulations in your walk with God that the devil will tell you that you're backslid. You'll come to church and you'll mope
and you'll be discouraged. You won't be able to lift your hands. And the devil will tell you you'll never be able to shout again. He'll tell you you never did have nothing. He'll tell you a lot of things. What do you want to listen to him for? One saint got up one night in my church and testified. She said, the devil been talking to me all day long. After church that I said, what'd you listen to him for? You think I'm going to sit around and let the devil talk to me all day long? If I recognize it's a devil, I'm going to do what the book told me to do. I'm going to resist him. I don't have nothing to do with him. I'm going to flee from him. I'm going to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm putting him to flight. I'm not going to sit there and listen to him talk to me all day long. I said, don't ever get up and let the devil hear you testify again that the devil has been talking to you all day long. If you recognize that it was a devil, you ought to not be listening to him. And that's why you're discouraged tonight and testifying about the devil talking to you, because you've been listening to him all day. But go back in your mind to the times that God blessed you and you felt the glory. And you did have shouting in your feet. And you did have clapping in your hands. And you did have joy in your soul. And you did have faith to believe God. Praise God. Go back to your memory and get out those experiences and shake them in the devil's face and relive them all over again. And first thing you know, you'll feel the glory and the power, just like David did when he went back in his mind about killing the bear and the lion. He felt the same glory that came over him as he relived those experiences when he faced Goliath as he did when he killed the bear and the lion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your memory is given to you for a purpose. And that's for you to record, or for it to be recorded, spiritual experiences, your Red Sea experiences, your Jericho walls experiences, your fire by night and cloud by day experiences, your glory in the temple experiences, your jailhouse. Brother Paul, when he was in that old jailhouse, if he hadn't had a memory to go back in there to the Damascus Road and knew for sure the experience that he had from God and the vision that he saw, the suffering that he went through, you never think for one moment he would have stayed and have been beat. But the thing that caused him, hallelujah, to God, to pray and to sing and to worship God in midnight with blood running down his back and a guard standing at the jailhouse door and bars or whatever they had back in them days to keep him in stocks and bonds, he'd have been discouraged. But as they got to sitting there and they got to thinking about his experience, he got to thinking about shaking the viper off. He got to thinking about preaching to this one and that one and the glory of God and facing the devil and defeating the devil and striking him blind and raising the dead. And first thing you know, he got to thinking all of that. And first thing you know, praise began to burst out of his mouth and songs of Zion began to come to his soul. He began to relive some of the experiences and the deliverance that God had brought him through. Hallelujah. And that's what caused the earthquake and the shaking of the Philippian jail. That's what caused him to have courage to worship God in the midnight hour with stripes and blood running down his back. And that's what's going to keep you worshiping and praising God when you got stripes on your back, or you got a trial, or you got a heartache, or you got a sorrow, or you got a tribulation, or you got a burden, or you got a cross that you're bearing. The only thing that's going to keep you worshiping God and praising God with joy in your soul is to go back through your memory and relive the experiences that you've had with God and the victories that He's given you. And that's why there's so much written in this Bible concerning meditating upon God and waiting on the Lord, to give your mind time to go back and pick up these things that you might come back. And they are a reservoir. They are a reservoir of courage and power and strength to every preacher and every child of God. Use them and draw on them. Be encouraged by them. Be blessed. All right. Now then, I must hasten to try to bring our message to close tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 11, I'll just refer to these verses. Verse 1 through 16 tells a story of Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, who was of a spiritual product of her mother. And she set out to kill all of the royal seed that was in the line of the Messiah, or of the, in the line of the coming of the Messiah. But Joash was 1 year old, and they hid him in the temple, away from her. And that's the only seed that was left in that kingdom that was in the blood covenant line through which the Messiah would come. But in her mind, she didn't know that he was saved and hid. She thought she had destroyed every last one of them. And now, she was in a position to set up idol worship in Judah, just like her old mama had done in Israel. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for a memory.
Yes, sir.
Woo! A memory. Huh? A memory. They hid Joash in the temple, and they kept him there for 6 years. 6 years they hid him in the temple. Nursed him. Took care of him. Just a baby. And so, when he was 7 years old, she had, of course, relaxed her persecution, because in her mind, she had thought that she had relinquished all of the sons of the royal seed that was in line for the coming of the Son of God. And so she relaxed her persecution, and she was no longer seeking to destroy. In the early battles of King David and his 40 mighty men, the weapons that they used when they come against an enemy, for instance, when David was just a young man, the sword that belonged to Goliath, you see, they didn't throw these weapons away. When they had a weapon and they used that weapon in a major defeat of an enemy of God, they saved that weapon as a memorial of a victory in the name of Jehovah. Praise God. Woo! And they preserved it. Put it up on a rack somewhere that everybody passed by and knew that was David's sword. That was Joab's sword. That was Jonathan's sword. And their mind then would go back when they saw that sword and relive the battles and the victories that God had given to them through that great man of God that was used of God. Jehoiada was the high priest, and he had a memory. Glory to God. He had a memory. And he set up a little scheme, and they had no weapons. She had stripped the mighty captains of the hundreds of the warriors of Israel. She had stripped them of their weapons. And they couldn't even get a saw filed or an axe filed or a plow filed without taking the whole thing down there and getting permission and somebody to guard them while they fired. They couldn't have no implements of war or nothing that would make war. And everything that they used in their survival, they had nothing to fight with. Jehoiada remembered that in the temple was every sword and every shield and every weapon of David and Jonathan and all of the mighty men of Israel. They were there on display. Oh, yeah, they was rusty. There's no doubt about it. And she didn't never think about them old rusty weapons up there. That old sword, that thing's been there. It cobwebs is all over it. And it's rusty. They never used that. And it's not very many of them anyway. And so she never even thought about the weapons in the temple. But the high priest thought about it. And he set up a little scheme. And he said, I'll tell you what. He told her, call together the captains of the hundreds. And he got them over there to the temple. He took them in there and he said, look at here, boys. Said, I just thought of something. He said, you know that old wicked woman? She thought she had killed every bit of the royal seed. But I got a little scheme to set up for because I've been reminiscing in my mind. What are we going to do? How are we going to get by? How are we going to defeat her? How are we going to have this man as king to reign on over us? Hallelujah to God. And he said, my mind began to remember. And I remember the sword of David. I remember the sword of Jonathan. I remember the sword of the 40 mighty men. The battles, the shields that they'd won by those battles. And my mind got to thinking. And he said, look at here, boys. We got our weapons. Now he said, we're going to catch her off guard. I'm going to send for her to come to the temple. And when she comes to the temple, we're going to crown Joash king. And we're going to rail up on her and kill her right on the spot. Glory to God. All right, of course, he couldn't kill her in the temple, so what he done? He got her in there, and she come, and they had that little 7-year-old boy, and they had him leaning up against a pillar in the temple. And he was just standing there, 7-year-old, just smiling. And when she opened that door, they crowned him king and said, this is the king of Israel. We declare him king today. There she stood. She was away from her mighty men. She was a queen. There was a reigning, a wicked woman. She had no nothing to defend herself. And brother, here those men, they turned and got the weapon that was hung on the walls of the temple. Hallelujah. And she turned to hightail it out of there. And when she did, they took after her. And when she got out on the outside of that temple and started her way down to her little palace, they railed upon her and they killed her right there on the spot. And declared Joash to be king. And he reigned from 7 years old until he was 47. 40 years in Israel. And brother, though when they saw those weapons, it instilled something in their heart. They rallied to the cause, and they went back and relived those experiences of David. The same old sword that David stood and got up on the top of the body of Goliath and took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. Praise God. He took old Goliath's sword and he took it back up there, and that sword was hanging in the temple. Hallelujah to God. Oh, you had some giants. You've had some bears. You've had some lions. You've had some trials. You've had some tribulation. But God has given you the victory through every last one of them. Hallelujah. Let your mind work. Go back to your memory. Go back to your memory. Go back to your memory. I want to tell you something. There's 4 lessons that I learned from reading those verses of Scripture. And I want to try to bring this little lesson to a close tonight. Number one, she didn't think they had any weapons. She was unaware that these swords existed. All right, this is a lesson that I feel like that we need from this verse of Scripture is that the devil, he thinks he's got us apostolics whipped and vested. Yeah, he does. But we know the devices of the devil. And I'll tell you something else.
They didn't go around that broadcasting that they had them weapons in that temple either. When they found out what they had in there, they never breathed it. They never told a soul. Because it would have spoiled their plan to defeat that old wicked woman. Praise God. And I'm persuaded to believe that the devil only knows what you tell him. If you tell him you can't do nothing, he's got you bested. He'll bluff you out. He'll bluff you out. If you tell him you ain't got nothing to defeat him with, he'll drag you down. Yes, he will. If you tell him that you are weak and that you're undone, that you have no source to fight with, he'll just come in there and defeat you, discourage you, destroy you, and take your soul to hell. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, keep your mouth shut about what you got. You've got resources inside of you. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you... Let me tell you something. That's why that America tonight is survived as long as it has, because they've kept the secret weapons a secret.
There ain't a one of you preachers, not a saint on this pew tonight that's sitting here, that would last till the sun come up in the morning if you told the devil everything that you know about what you possess inside of you. You got to keep that joker on guard and on lookout. He don't know what you lie pull on him. That's right. He'd be like that bunch in Israel. They come out there and they thought they're going to all be right-handed, and they all come a-swinging left-handed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. That's right. Boy,
amen.
They practice with that left hand. And the old enemy come out there, and he never thought about a whole army, 100 men being left-handed. But they got all the left-handed ones together. And brother, they practice. And when the enemy come up on one side, they thought they were going to get them on the opposite side. Brother, that was just the right side for them. They come up because they done switched hands on them. Praise God. And that's what I'm saying. You've got power. You've got weapons that God has given you that defeats the devil. Hallelujah. Go back to your memory. Keep the devil on the alert. He don't ever know what you're going to do. He thinks you're going to hit him with an uppercut, and you're going to come with a left-hand overhand. Haymaker. He thinks you're going to punch him in the belly, and you're going to poke him in the nose. That's right. He don't know what you're going to do. I guarantee you, buddy, a church that's on fire for God and living in the Holy Ghost realm and the leading of the Holy Ghost, it keeps the devil a-looking, and he don't know what to do. He don't know which side to come on you. He don't know what... That's right! Hallelujah! Oh, saints of God, you've got weapons tonight to defeat the devil that he don't know anything about. All right. Number two, the high priest and the captains remembered that they had weapons in the temple. Now notice, she wasn't expecting them to have any weapons. She didn't know they had any. And they didn't know they had any either until they got to remembering. But when they got to remembering, they had a whole bunch of weapons. Put your memory to work. You'd be surprised what you've got in the Holy Ghost. If you just let your mind work a little bit and meditate on God, you don't give God a chance to bring nothing out and let you see it. All right, number three, they use the same weapons to defeat their enemy that their forefathers used to defeat their enemy.
Same ones.
Oh, yeah. Somebody talk about a new Pentecost. What in the world is that? Who coined that word? There's no such a thing as a new Pentecost.
That's right.
What in the world? Charisma and charismatic and latter rain and end time revival. All these words that's been coined in this 19th century. That's all man-made words.
Yeah.
Ain't no such a thing as new Pentecost and a new experience with God. They put them signs on their cars. I found it. Well, we've had it all the time.
Yeah.
they had a big crusade in Dallas and Houston, and all over the bumper stickers. They spent millions of dollars with a little old bumper sticker that said, I found it. Well, I'm so glad they did, but we've had it all the time.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know the same weapons that David used to cut the head off of the biggest man on the face of the earth was the same weapon that they used to kill the most wicked offspring of the wickedest woman that ever lived on the face of this earth. Praise God. I want you to know, my friend, that the same weapon that our forefathers that had to defeat the devil is the same one that you're going to have to defeat the devil. Yes, sir! Hallelujah! You need to think for one moment that you're going to try on something new and win the battle. David said, I don't know nothing about this mess over here you're trying to put on me. He said, I'm going to stick with that what's brought me thus far.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to stick with that word I know that's going to give me the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. The same thing 10 years ago will work tonight. You hear me? I said it'll work tonight. We don't need a new gospel. No, sir, friend. We don't need a new translation. We don't need a new Savior. We don't need a new God. We don't need a new preacher. We just need to take that what we've got and use it. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. The same thing that brought revival on in Topeka, Kansas and Azusa Street is the same thing that's going to bring revival in 1978. Fasting and praying and a hunger and a desire for a move of the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your life. That's what's going to bring it. Don't you ever think for one moment that revival is going to come with just a little jig and with a little talent and with a little talent show and a little song fest. That's a joke. That is a joke. I heard Brother Gray preach at the National Convention last year. I'm going to get that tape. I've been wanting to get it a long time. I hope somebody's got it here for sale. Begotten by the Word.
Yes,
you can mark it down in your book, my friend.
Yes,
you can mark it down in your book. That's the only way you're going to get into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yes. That's the only thing that's going to stick in your ribs. That's the only thing that's going to carry you through the valley. That's the only thing that's going to give you the power to kill your Goliath. That's the only thing that's going to give you the power to walk across the dry land and the waters of Jordan roll back. Hallelujah. The same identical thing that gave David the victory and Jonathan the victory and the mighty men of valor of victory is the same weapon that those men used that day to get the victory and to declare that boy king to reign for 40 years. Hallelujah. And they tore down the old thrones of that wicked woman and set up the worship of the true Jehovah God. Oh, saints of God. And preach your friend and church tonight. Let me tell you, the thing that's going to rock and shake this world and defeat the enemy of God and God's kingdom is the same identical thing they defeated in the 19th century. The beginning of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory comes to the church today just like it did to the early church. All right, number four. In closing, tonight. The weapons that gave them the victory was in the temple.
Yes, 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 it was.
You hear me?
Yes.
Number one, they caught the devil off guard. He wasn't expecting them to have the power that they had. Number two, they remembered.
Yes.
Number three, the same weapons that David, the greatest warrior that God ever had to defend the children of Israel against the opposition of the Philistines, used the same weapon that Jehoiada and his men used.
Yes.
And number four, they got those weapons in the temple. Now, I'm fixing to say some things, and you just hang on for just a second or two. Preachers and saints of God, I say this in fear, and I say it in love. We're not going to get our weapons at these worldly song fests that come through our town. You hear me now? Our people are flocking to them things like bees to honey. Yeah, they are. They think they can get from Blackwood Brothers and Dottie Rambo's and Oakwood Boys and the Hashers and the Thrashers and whatever else the names they are.
Yeah.
They think that they go there and pay their money to support that mess and they live like a bunch of devils, most of them do, and whoremongers and wide bibbers and
right.
idolaters, and they don't love Jesus nor your God
That's
nor nothing
right.
else that goes with it.
Right.
And our people go along there and take their tithe money a lot of right. times to get in them places thinking they're going to get something from God. That's not the temple. That's not where you're going to find your weapon. Oh, no, my friend. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Your weapon to defeat the devil is in the temple.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, if you're looking for a little self, fleshly gratification and entertainment, then that's the place to go. But if you're looking for a weapon to defeat the devil, then you're in the wrong seating place. Preachers, saints of God, your weapons is not on the golf course. That's right. That's right. I mean what I'm saying, I'm saying it in love. I'm going to tell you, listen, that's the reason our churches is run ragged. That's the reason our saints of God is a dragon. That's the reason there's no healing. That's the reason there's not any more miracles in the ark. That's why there's no more victory. That's why the saints don't have the power of God. That's why they're discouraged all the time. My God, preacher, you can't have no weapon to defeat the devil on the golf course 3 days out a week. Oh, and you preachers that went to Texas camp meeting this year that never spent one day at the campground. They was on the golf course every day, Brother Fry.
God help us. Help us.
I told one of them and looked him right between the eyes when I told him. I said, if I wanted to play golf, I'd try to find me another day besides camp meeting time. I come here to get some weapons, praise God, because I've got some battles to fight. I've got a devil to, I've got a gospel to preach. I've got a lost world to try to save. You're not going to find nothing out on the golf course to defeat the devil. Hallelujah. That's right. Are you a God-called preacher? Are you a Holy Ghost-filled saint? Do you know what the commission of the church is? Do you know what we're doing here in this world? Do you know why God filled you with the Holy Ghost? For you to come to church and to shout and talk in tongues and then go take the money and go to the places of the world and let a lost world go to hell? Is that why God filled us with the Holy Ghost 10,000 times? No, you know it's not. I'm talking about a memory. You need to let your mind go back to Calvary before you need to let it go back. I'll tell you why some of us is on the golf course. I'll tell you why some of us is down there listening to Rambo sing. I'll tell you why some of us is a nitpicking around to all the entertainment places of the world and the Disney World and the Six Flags and everywhere else that we can go and get by that we won't be brought before the district board and spend every bit of the time that we can and instead of doing what God wants us to do. I'll tell you why. Because we have lost the vision of a lost and hell bound world. We've lost the vision of Calvary. We've lost the vision of the blood. And our mind needs to go back to Calvary and look at the Son of God hanging there and understand why He's hanging there. Oh, God! Dear God, wake up my memory tonight! Take my mind back to Calvary! Take my mind back to the scene that the rich man saw in the flaming pits of hell. Let me hear the screams and see the gnawing and the gnashing of the teeth. And let me hear the words of my Lord when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. And He gave up the ghost. Oh, saint of God, minister friend of mine tonight, prayer was that one of those great weapons that was used in early Pentecost that brought revival, that brought faith, that brought strength, that brought fire in the soul and the heart of the preacher. That brought a burden on the soul of the saints of God for a lost and dying world. Prayer. Prayer. I promised God not too long ago, Lord, there's two things that I'm going to preach.
everywhere I go. And that's about prayer. And that's about hell. We need to pray. Prayer is a mighty weapon. It's a mighty weapon. The things that brought us to where we are is a thing that's going to carry us on. That's right. And it all come out of the temple. What is a weapon? A weapon is an instrument used for defense or for fighting. It's a thing designed. That's what it's designed for. Brought into existence for. Money was spent to bring it about for that purpose. To be used to destroy an enemy. It's an instrument for contest and for combating enemies either for offense or defense. It's a weapon and it is an instrument used to put one on equal or superior terms with his adversary. Did you hear what the last words that I said a definition of a weapon was for? Is to put one on equal or superior terms to his adversary. And that's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Because prayer is a weapon that takes a frail and a weak, undone creature and gives him an implement of warfare that puts him in a superior position to anything that opposes him. I challenge every preacher that's having any kind of a struggle, and any saint of God, I challenge you in your struggle to go to God in prayer. I challenge you. I challenge you. The devil may have you down, and he may be sitting to straddle you, and you may feel your weakness and your inabilities. But I'll tell you this one thing. If you will pray, you will pray, if 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 you will pray. I want you to know that prayer will become a weapon that will give you the superiority over any demon that the devil can hatch up out of hell. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, shall not prevail, shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. A devil cannot prevail against a praying church. A devil cannot prevail against a praying preacher. A devil cannot prevail against a praying child of God. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. And the prayer is in the temple. That's where your weapons are, is in the temple. Do you have a battle tonight? Be here in the morning at 9:30. And God, through that prayer, will give you a weapon to defeat anything that opposes you in your walk with God. It would be foolish and ignorant for me to go to Yellowstone National Park and go out in those woods hunting a 700 or 800 pound grizzly bear to fight. When I compare the strength of a bear to my human physical strength, I would be a fool. I would be a fool. When I was a kid, we went to carnivals and fairs and everywhere else in the world we could go. And they had bear and man wrestling matches. They'd cut the claws from the paw of the bear and they'd muzzle the bear's mouth with a muzzle. And they challenged any man boxers, wrestlers, loggers, construction men. You tough, you strong, we'll put you in the ring with a bear.
Yeah.
They crawled in there, too. I've seen a lot of them. I've seen old boys, 250, 60 pounds, go in there, pull off their shirt, flex their muscles around in their corner. They're going to whip a bear. They're going to whip the bear. Nothing but their bare hands. Why, that's the biggest joke it ever was. That old bear, he didn't even act like he knew that the joker was even in the ring. That's right. He wasn't worried at all. He just sitting down over his honkers, and he just ready for the guy to give him a jerk on the chain to tell him the guy's ready. He wasn't nervous in the panting over there. And said, boy, that guy, I'm afraid of him. He's a tough-looking umber. Oh, the bear already knew that there wouldn't be no fight to it. Nothing to it, boy. I don't care how big he was. Oh, the old bear just walked up there, took his paw, kind of put it on the side of his head, and slapped him down to the floor. Just fell over on top of him, and that old boy kicking, he'd bucking, he'd groan, he'd try to throw the bear, and the old bear just laid up there licking his mouth. Now, wouldn't I be a fool? Wouldn't I be a fool to go out Yellowstone National Park looking for a 700-800 pound grizzly bear? And I'm going to go out there with my little old deceptive ideas that I'm going to kill that bear with my hand. And I spot me one coming up the trail. I said, well, okay, come on, boy. We mean you're going to meet. And so here I go. I'm facing the bear. Well, you know good and well, I wouldn't even last the first blow. He'd take that one paw. One end of me'd go one way, and the other end the other way. That's right. And the remains would fall on the ground in the middle. But if I had a 30-06, now that's a different story. I got a weapon. I ain't afraid. Because you see, I know that I'm no match for the bear. And I'm no good against the bear. But you see, that weapon, that 30-06, I know the velocity of that bullet. I know the shocking power of that bullet. I know the destructive power of that bullet. I know the explosive power of that bullet. There's nowhere that bullet can hit that bear that it's not going to blow a hole in him as big as you can put your two fists in. I know that, you see, so I'm not afraid of the bear. I've got a weapon that puts me on superior terms to the bear. All right, now then, the weapon is no good as long as it's laying over here by itself. And I'm no good as long as I'm not connected with a weapon. But get me and the weapon together, and we can destroy everything in the world that opposes the work of God. Hallelujah. I can face the biggest lion. I can face the biggest tiger. I can face the biggest man. If me and the weapon is together, oh God, I tell you right now, saints of God and the church of the living God, we need to get connected with the weapons that God has put in the church. There's no use for God to tell us in the Word of God what He has given to us to defeat the devil, and then us not going to the temple to get the weapons to defeat the powers of the devil. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you think the devil's got you on the run, go back to your mind. You've got a 30-06 in the temple. You've got Goliath's sword in the temple. You've got rockets and cannons and bombs in the temple. Hallelujah. You've got power. You've got gifts of the Spirit in the temple. You've got glory. You've got majesty. You've got God in the temple. You've got miracles. You've got signs. You've got wonders in the temple. You've got prayer. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got everything that you need to defeat the powers of the devil. But it's in the temple. Let us all stand and worship the Lord and thank God for our member tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for your memory. Thank God for your memory. Hallelujah. Thank God for your memory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Come on.
praise Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him for the weapons that God has given to us to defeat the devil.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank God, he said, go back and bring to remembrance the former days.
Hallelujah. David remembered the bear. He remembered the lion when he faced the giant. I imagine, I don't know how many of you here tonight, maybe some of you saints of God, minister friends, the devil's got you discouraged. Your flesh has got you drugged down. You've been going through some trials and tribulations. Why don't you come tonight and stand around this altar and close your eyes and go back in the storehouse of your memory. And in the files of your mind, there are experiences and events, that victories that God has given to you, that if you can reminisce on them and relive them tonight, you'll come out here tomorrow for this Bible lesson with a new creature in Christ Jesus, with new strength, with new courage. Oh God, I've had to go to the temple many times. I've had to get up in the midnight hour when I was troubled about a church problem or about my own problems or about something that I was going through with. I've got up a many time and I've gone to that church house and I've got on my face before God at that altar and I prayed the biggest part of the night and I've even seen the sun come up in the morning. Not trying to tell you that I'm more spiritual than you are. These other preachers have done the same thing. And some of you saints have done the same thing. Plenty of you have. I remember experiences that God has given to me and the assurances that I've got and victories that have come and prayers that have been answered and things that my faith eye has been opened up to, that I have gone back and relived those experiences in moments of discouragement and heartache and sorrow. And it was like drawing from the refreshing wells that David desired to drink from in Bethlehem. Why did he want to drink from this particular well? Because he had remembered many a battle that he fought. And he and his men come staggering and stumbling back up an old, dirty, dusty trail, bloody, beaten, down, discouraged, wounded, carrying the dead. And in that lane stood a well that had cool, clear, refreshing water. And they gathered around that well and they drank. And oh, how their spirits was lifted and how they felt the refreshing and how they felt their body coming back to life when they could drink of the fresh spring water of the well of Bethlehem. And in another place he was fighting and the battle wasn't going too well. And he was looking at his wounded and smelling the fresh flow of human blood of his soldiers that was a dying. And his mouth was parched and his lips was turned wrong side out and his tongue was hot and his blood was almost a boil because of the exhaustion. He just was a thinking in his mind and he just spoke out of his memory. He wasn't even thinking that anybody was listening. He said, oh, that I could have right now just a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem. Oh, his mind. Oh, God, what do we want in this camp meeting? Let your mind, saints of God. Preacher friend, let your mind go back to the greatest camp meeting that you've ever had in the Western District. Go back to the greatest preachers that you've ever had here. Go back to the greatest move of God that you've ever had. And tonight, let your mind go back to that place. And then I want you to walk down these aisles tonight and lift your hands and say, God, I want another drink.